Welcome to Bud Break, the podcast for Jackson family wine professionals. From understanding terroir to crafting the perfect pitch, the education team is here to give you the tools to sell with confidence and passion. So grab a glass, pull that cork, and let's dive in.
Hello, JFW Nation. This is David Royce, your trusted choice for all things Jackson family. And I am so excited to sit down virtually here with Ben Salazar. He's our director of winemaking over in Monterey. How are you, Ben?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm just happy to be here and very excited about this project. Everyone is very familiar, obviously, with our bootleg line, and that has been a trusted bottle in our quiver for a long time. But in May 2025, bootleg is now becoming Paso Cab. Isn't that right, Ben?
That's correct. We decided to explore the Paso Robles area with a Cabernet offering. And it's really exciting for the team here in Monterey that's had the chance to lead the charge there. And we've got the first vintage in the bottle as of a few weeks ago and currently working on the second.
So in my travels around the country, everyone on our team has been clamoring for a wine in this style, and our prayers have been answered. It should land roughly about $15 by the glass. So perfect sweet spot for rich, intense Cabernet from a really hot region. Thank you, Ben. Thank you so much. You've made so many people happy with this project.
I'm glad it made a lot of people happy, and it's been a lot of fun to work on and help build from the ground up. So we're excited about it.
So let's zoom out for a second and put everything in reference. We are in Paso Robles. This is about 3 hours south of San Francisco and roughly 3 or 4 hours north of LA, correct?
Correct. We're smack dab in the middle of the California coast. That's interesting. You know, here in Soledad in Monterey County, directly to our west are the Santa Lucia mountain ranges. And those continue all the way down into San Luis Obispo County, where Paso Robles AVA is, and those same mountain ranges are just to the west. But while we're doing Pinot Noir up here, they're doing Cabernet down there. It's a long ways away, but a very different climate for sure.
Yeah, it's an expansive area. At last count, it's 614,000 acres. This AVA of Paso is absolutely massive. And roughly speaking, we have 41,000 acres planted to vine. And for reference here, Napa County is about 500,000 acres and planted to roughly 45,000 acres of vine. So roughly the same footprint, but in, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, like you said, Pinot closer to the coast, Cabernet in the belly, and even more heat tolerant varietals further east, correct?
Yeah, it's a pretty big mix. You've got a lot of representation of Rhone varietals there, obviously a lot of Cabernet. If you get a little bit further south, and especially out to the coast, you'll start seeing some Pinot Noir. More of that tends to go further south in San Luis Obispo County, down near Edna Valley. That seems to be the coolest area and the best situated for Chardonnay and for Pinot Noir. But Cabernet is king in Paso. And one of the big differences when you get to Paso, even though you have that coastal mountain range, which we have on the north coast as well, once you start looking east, you start getting into these big kind of flatter expanses of area where a lot of the vineyards acreage is, where if you're in places like Napa and Sonoma County, not only do you have coastal mountain ranges to the west, but then you've got a second interior mountain range to the east, which create those smaller valleys.
It's a versatile region. It's hot. It's a popular category. So let's touch on you, Ben. You've been with Jackson family since 2008, correct?
That's correct. I finished school at San Luis Obispo and at Cal Poly. Started with Jackson Family Wines, worked about 5 years. Cumulatively, 7 years on the North Coast and about 8 years here on the Central Coast. I've been up and down the coast a few times as opportunities presented themselves, had a chance to work with a lot of our different brands at a lot of our different facilities on the North Coast, This is actually my second time around here at the winery in Soledad.
And so you went to college in San Luis Obispo and now back home again in your old stomping grounds.
I did live for a little stint in Paso and around different areas of San Luis Obispo County, Morro Bay, Atascadero. So I'm definitely familiar with the area. It's been kind of a fun experience for me to be back down there in that region, see all the growth that's happened since the last time I was there. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's a little bit of a flashback.
So walk me through. Our sales team has been clamoring for this wine. The family listened and then approached you to spearhead this. How did it come to fruition?
There'd been a conversation on the production side for a while, making a more kind of fruit-centric, big but soft Cabernet. That style is very prevalent in the Paso region and really came down to saying, kind of us as a facility, let's just give it a go. Let's go find some fruit, bring it in, play around with it, and just see what we can get and start getting familiar with the area. And then once that got greenlit by the family to look into, I think things just started to snowball pretty quickly to something that was maybe we get a few truckloads of fruit here and there, try some things out, like do a pilot run to, hey, let's go for it. Let's make 10,000 cases. So we went from 0 to 60 really fast. And then we spent a lot of time in and around the different areas of Paso, working with our grower relations team, trying to find appropriate sources, trying to really build this thing from the ground up, not only for the first year, but that would lead into subsequent vintages and hopefully continue to progress and evolve. I think that's where we are right now. We just finished year two and we're pretty excited about the results we've had to date. We continue to refine what we're doing for this style of Cabernet. And I think we're really looking forward to when that first bottle gets released.
Sourcing from different growers in the region who match our mentality when it comes to growing grapefruit. Is it pure cab or are we sourcing different varietals as well?
So the first year was all cab plus a little bit of Malbec. And then just going around and finding growers that are very like-minded in their farming practices, in their sustainability practices, looking at ranches like we would look at our own estate vineyards. The main difference just in terms of kind of topography is we have a lot of mountain-grown fruit on the North Coast. Down here, there are mountain-grown Cabernets without a doubt, especially on the West side. But you get a lot more of the bigger rolling hills, undulating landscape as you get to the east side of town. And that, for the most part, is where we've sourced our fruit to date. It's in the Estrella River sub-AVA of the Paso Robles AVA. If you think you're driving along the road and you see these vineyards up on these rolling hills and little mesas, those are the kind of sources of vineyards that we're looking to source fruit from. Not necessarily down in the lower flats by the rivers where things might be a little bit heavier. There might be a little bit more water. The vines might be a little bit more vigorous. We're trying to stay up in places where there's a little bit more control in the vineyard in terms of farming.
That's awesome. It's exciting to have this now at our disposal. And it's going to fit such a beautiful niche for by the glass and by the bottle offerings. So what do you love most about making Paso Cab?
I think the discovery part is the most exciting part right now, is just finding these different sources, seeing how they are different from one another, seeing how they compare to Cabernets I worked on in Sonoma County. I worked with fruit from AME. I worked with fruit from Titans up in Mendocino. Things that are coming from Knights Valley, from our estate vineyards there at Kellogg. So it's interesting to try to compare them, but then also contrast just the characteristics that they're showing, and tannin being a big one. There's softer tannins down here. Again, we're not up in these high elevation mountain vineyards. I think that's been the most exciting part so far, just is seeing the differences, but also still at the end of the day, having wine that is very Cabernet and has all those hallmark characteristics and those profiles that you're expecting when you order a really nice glass of Cab.
So let's talk élevage. Walk me through briefly how you make this Cab.
So when we get that fruit into the winery, we will make some wine really straightforward style, not a whole lot of intervention on our part. Cold soaks, a 10 to 12 day fermentation period, drain and press it, get it down to barrel. But then because we really wanted to focus a lot on the tannin component of this wine and making sure that it's approachable, that it's soft, we started doing more experiments than I've done in the past with early drain and presses, getting things off of skins and seeds, maybe when there's still quite a fair amount of sugar remaining, maybe around 10 bricks, 5 bricks, press those off, let them go dry in tank, and try to avoid maybe that back end of fermentation where sometimes you can get a little bit more astringency and drying and a coarseness in some of the tannins. So move some of that fruit off early, then get that down to barrel. The first vintage in barrel, we were about 25% new oak, 20% French, 5% American. We took a really deliberate approach with different barrel profiles, both French and American, to see what could be the path going forward. We really liked a handful of profiles we tried both on French and American that helped inform what we want to do in this second vintage, again, to help accentuate the fruit characteristic, maybe add a little bit more barrel sweetness and some of those confection characteristics, and a little bit less of the structural approach from some of the oak profiles we used in the second year.
So at the end, what we have here is juicy, rich, soft, plush Cabernet. And while there's a time and a place for bold, tannic, rich Cab, I think so often what my guests and my buyers are looking for is juicy, soft, pleasurable, plush, chocolatey, ripe Cabernet. And this wine absolutely fits the bill. It's so exciting to have at our disposal now. Are we saying classic pairing, Cabernet Slab? Put a ribeye with this? What do you love to enjoy with it?
Yeah, I think a classic pairing works just great. And again, just to echo what you were saying, the whole approach is to have that lush, ripe, rich, juicy coating Cabernet in your glass that if you're going to have it with a nice, rich meal, it goes, if you just like to sip on a really great glass of Cabernet, it can take that form for you as well. But I'm more of a strip kind of guy. I like a little mix between fillets and ribeyes. So when I go out to a steakhouse, that's typically where I go. But I've got two young kids. One likes fillet, one likes ribeye, and I can always steal a bite here and there of those two as well.
Always important to share. I love that. Looking to the future, you said our production is ramping up. Do we have anything else on the horizon when it comes to bootleg or the region of Paso?
I think there's always possibilities there, but I think everyone right now is just really laser focused on this bootleg Paso Cabernet. We want to get it right. We want to do it well and give it a little bit of time to get out there and get its footing. So while there may be something down the road, whether it's another red or a white, I think the approach right now to put that on the back burner for now and just really focus on this Cabernet and getting off to a good start.
Perfect. I'll close with a question I love to ask all of our winemakers. Why is Paso Cab important?
I think Paso Cab is important because it's a opportunity for us to show what we can do in a different place, somewhere where we don't have a lot of experience. But at the end of the day, I think we can take good grapes, put them in people's hands that know what to do with it, and be able to make something that is really enjoyable, that meets the needs for us as a company and meets the needs for what the sales team are asking for, and can allow us to continue having a outstanding portfolio of wines to offer to the wine world.
I agree. Yeah, we've been clamoring for this region and this grape. It's been so hot across the country. Thank you so much, Ben, for all your hard work building this wine. It's exactly what we've been after when it comes to the sales team. Thank you so much, Ben, for taking the time. The education team, the sales team, we are absolutely thrilled to have this at our disposal. Juicy, rich, full combat cab at an incredible price point. Our prayers have been answered. So thank you so much, Ben. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Appreciate talking to you.
And this is David Royce, your trusted choice for all things Jackson Family, signing off, and we'll see you out in the field.